All right, well, this morning I think we're bringing to a conclusion this study of the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, and so forth. As we do so, let me just say a couple things as we bring it to a close. First of all, as we do so, there is somewhat of a sadness that I have experienced as we bring this to a conclusion. Not that we're bringing this study to a conclusion, but the sadness perhaps is most felt because something that I think should be of profit and benefit to us has become somewhat controversial. And the controversy, and I'm talking in evangelical circles. I'm not saying anybody's attacked me or anybody in this assembly, you know, that we're now at odds with one another. I think that's been beneficial. I think it's helped us even as an assembly to consider serious this topically. So when I say controversy, I don't mean within the church, but I simply mean evangelical circles worldwide. But I believe that part of the controversy does lie at our doorstep to a degree, because at times we have become pharisaical legalists with regard to the observance of this day, and therefore has made it somewhat of a burden and not a delight like it ought to be. So I feel very much as though at times the blame may lie at my footsteps or at my door. And yet at the same time, there's also a sadness because so many see no benefit from this day and want to cast it off as though it's like any other day of the week. And I'm saddened by that because this day ought to be one of the most profitable, beneficial days that we have as New Covenant believers. So therefore, as we come to conclude our study, I wanted to say several things. I still believe that there is a day, even in the New Covenant community, which is set apart from the ordinary days of the week. That day is called the Lord's Day. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, as we've already looked at together in our study, John, who was very familiar with the general practice and the observance of the new covenant community called the church, writes to the church, and in his letter, he identifies the day upon which he is writing with these words. It was on the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And those believers that he's writing in the church would know the significance of that day. They would not have a committee getting together and say, now let's dissect John's letter to us a moment. He said he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now perhaps the first thing we ought to consider is, what does it mean to be in the Spirit? And maybe they would have a discussion on that. And then someone would say, well, I want to raise a question. He identifies the time that it took place as the Lord's Day. Is it every day the Lord's Day? Don't they all belong to Him? What does he mean when he identifies this one day called the Lord? Does anybody have any idea what he's talking about? And so the committee then discusses at length perhaps what he means. No. When the churches received this letter and John says, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, they would know exactly what he meant and the significance of that day as not being an ordinary day, but one that was set apart. It would have been a day that was not like the other days. This was the Lord's Day. In the same sense that Paul refers to the Holy Supper as the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:20, he compares the ordinary meal that they would engage in, he would compare that to the Lord's Supper. There was something different about that meal that they would partake, in which they would remember Christ's death and resurrection. So when John writes concerning the Lord's Day, there was something significantly different in that day than every other day. We noticed in our study that the practice of the disciples after the Lord's resurrection, as well as the practice of the early church, was to meet upon the first day of the week. It was the assembling of God's covenant community together on the first day of the week. And Paul assumes that on the first day of the week, the churches, both in Galatia and in Corinth, would assemble together. And in that assembly would worship God. They would be instructed in the things of God. They would observe the ordinances that was given to them by God on that day. Therefore, as new covenant believers, we've been given this one day in seven called the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, in which we should come together as a community of believers to worship our God corporately. We should make it our priority to come with God's people and worship Him. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some have done. That's the warning. And that ought to be a priority with regard to this day, that as the assembly is called together, we will meet and we will worship God together. It ought to be a day to be instructed from the Word of God. We come together to hear God's voice. We come together to meet with God. We come together that we might be taught the things of God. They continued continually in the apostles' teaching. And so as we gather together, we come to hear the voice of God and to meet with Him. As we come together, we ought to observe the ordinances of God. As they gathered together, that was one of the things they did. They broke bread together, observing God's ordinances. And as we gather together, we ought to fellowship with one another. We have a responsibility towards each other. I trust you're convinced of that, as not too long ago we finished the series in which we looked at all of our responsibilities towards one another. We are a community that ought to love each other, receive each other, care for one another, be benevolent to each other. And we have, as we gather together, that type of fellowship. It should be a day in which we focus upon the great work of Christ and all His accomplishments on our behalf. We ought to think about this day being a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to think about all that Christ has done in order that we might have the righteousness of God. We ought to think and give thanks to God for that wonderful gift and the reality that we now serve a risen Savior. It is a day to be reminded that in Christ we rest from our labors of self-righteousness, our labors of self-sufficiency, and we find our rest in Him. It is a day in which we ought to take thought of the goal of the rest that is not yet completed. It ought to be a day that we think about that eternal rest that yet lies before us, and be diligent in entering into that rest. You see, I believe the weekly nature of the Lord's Day is a reminder to us we're not home yet. As we gather together today, we're reminded that this may be a foretaste of heaven. As we gather together to worship God and to exalt and magnify His name. But we're not home yet. There is still the eternal rest that is set before us. You see, if our observance of this day does not lead us to something of that, then I think we have missed a wonderful opportunity that God has given to us. So it's not a matter of what can and cannot I not do on the Lord's Day. Can I pick up a stick? Can I go for a jog? Can I go to the store? Can I fill in the blank? Am I allowed to watch TV? Whatever else comes to mind. That's not the issue. I want us to consider the issue being this. We have a day given to us that should be a day in which our souls focus and are refreshed in the things of God, especially as we gather together corporately to meet with Him. And so I want us to receive the greatest benefit that we can from this day. Someone told me this story, and I haven't heard it myself, so I don't know where it was or when it was or if it was for sure. I mean, I trust the one who told me this story. But they said that Pastor Alistair Beggs there in Cleveland was saying, is it okay for us to carry a stick on the Lord's Day? And of course, it's okay to carry a stick. I mean, that's not go too far. Is it okay to carry a stick that has a curve on it? Well, yeah, I don't see any problem with carrying a stick that has a curve on it. I don't know what the problem with that would be. Sure, if it's got a little curve to it, let's not go overboard here. Okay. Is it okay to go for a walk on the Lord's Day? Well, yeah, it's fine to go for a walk on the Lord's Day. I don't know where you're going with this, but yeah, okay, yeah. You can go for a walk on the Lord's Day. Is it all right to walk on the grass on the Lord's Day? Well, yeah, I would think you'd be able to walk on the grass on the Lord's Day. Well, is it all right to carry a crooked stick and walk on the grass on the Lord's Day? I suppose all that's okay. How about if you did it with a ball? With a ball? Yeah, if you had a little ball. Well, I guess it's okay to carry a little stick that's got a curve in it, walk on the grass with a little ball. And then the question was, so is it all right if I go golfing? Now you see, that's sometimes how we think. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. And I've had to ask myself a question that said, let's say somebody had the opportunity to go golfing this afternoon with an unconverted man and be able to share with them something of the gospel while they're golfing. Would that be wrong? Right? Now, that's just an illustration. You may say, if you're going to ask me to go golfing with you this afternoon, I'm not going to do it. Right? But that's me. I'm not saying that's you. But I want this to be, and I believe even in creation, with the creation ordinance, this was to be a blessed day. A day in which we can delight in God. And so, by God's grace, I've determined that I want this day to be a blessed day. An enjoyable day. So what that looks like to you and what that looks like to me, there may be some differences. I do believe that we need to make it a priority to gather together to worship God on His day. I think our minds need to focus upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this day and the wonderful gift that He's given to us of the Holy Spirit on this day. I believe it does have real significance and benefit for us, even as a new covenant community. But I don't want us to be guilty of Pharisaical legalism with regard to the day. And so if on your way home, and I got to be careful because I'm going to get in trouble sooner or later, but on your way home, you see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so pulling into Bob Evans. What are you going to do? Oh, my! Yeah. Now, probably don't invite me to Bob Evans after the church. I'd probably prefer not to go. But I'll leave that between you and God. I just want you to enjoy the day and benefit from the day. But we tend to think more, Bob Evans, today, instead of, I wonder how they're profiting on this day. I hope they're enjoying this day, benefiting from this day. Now, in light of that, there are three things I want to say with regard to the day and how we can best benefit from the day. But before we do, I'm willing to open it up for any comments, questions. Yes, Nancy. They can't touch an elevator, a button on an elevator on Saturday. So what do? Climb steps or? Oh, it stopped on Saturday? I get that at the hospital every so often. That's aggravating to me. Huh. So they can't touch a button.
They don't. They put them on automatic. So there's nowhere for the person to do it.
Okay. Interesting. Anyone else? Take that as a no. So I hope it's been helpful. I'm not sure I've solved all the problems, and I'm not sure that I've necessarily observed the day perfectly, but I'm not a perfect man, whatever that might mean. I got to have a good conscience before my God and me. And so do you, with regard to what that might look like. But I don't want you to throw it out. I don't want you to act like it's just another day. I think assembling with God's people just automatically says it's more than just another day that is beneficial. Anything else? All right. Well, the three things I want to say with regard to how this day perhaps could be observed for its greatest benefit. And there are three things I would say. Number one, preparation. Preparation. If this day is something that should benefit us and be a delight to us, then we should make every effort to prepare for it. In other words, we ought to be asking ourselves, what can I do that I might receive the greatest profit from this day? I know I'm going to assemble with God's people. And I know it will be a time in which we will worship God and be instructed in the things of God. Now, while I like Pastor Walden, at times he's not the most keep-me-awake preacher I've ever heard. So, I might think seriously about making sure I get a good night's sleep before I go hear him on the Lord's Day. So that I can really profit. I hope, that Pastor Walden does have something to say. That he has studied and for my benefit. And therefore, I ought to come with ears that are eager to hear the Word of God. So what can I do to best prepare for the hearing of the Word of God? I mean, it might be, you know, I'm not setting down indisputable rules, but one of the things, especially here, because the preaching primarily is expository, you should know that today we're going to begin Romans 11. You know that, right? Because we finished Romans 10 last week. Remember that? All right. So it might be good for me to just read over Romans 11 so I can just at least begin to think after that chapter together. Right. We're going to meet with God. The unique thing about us meeting together as the people of God is that God has promised to meet with us. We're going to meet with God. Now, I would think we'd want to prepare our hearts to meet with the living God who knows me altogether. And God just doesn't arrive here and say, oh, good. I see that Dorothy's here this morning. I'm glad she's here. I hope everything is well. No, God knows Dorothy. And so I trust her desire is when I come, I want to enjoy sweet communion with God. If there, and though she's my neighbor, I'm not saying this because I know something. That's not the case. But so that if there is sin in her life that would block that sweet communion with God, I want to deal with that. So that when I do enter into the worship, that there is that sweet fellowship and communion with God. Whatever might hinder me from enjoying this day and focusing in upon God, whatever might hinder me with regard to mundane things, maybe I should be a bit more organized so I can take care of those things on a different day so that again I might receive the greatest benefit from this day. Are there things that perhaps I could do on another day and really give myself to focusing in on God and enjoying God's people, fellowshipping with God? And how can I do that? And so to prepare ourselves, to make preparations that we might benefit and delight in this day. That's the first thing I would say. Preparation. The second thing I would say with regard to this day is, and just so you have some alliteration, which I guess I'm known for, it would be the word adoration, the worship of God. This is His day. And so may I use it to focus on Him, perhaps in ways that I'm not able to do on other days. To give more attention to my Lord and my God. To focus on God and His special presence. Just to delight in Him. An example, look over to Psalm 92. The 92nd Psalm. You see, even at the beginning of this psalm, the inscription before it even begins is that it's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. A song for the Sabbath day. And here we have something of a good example of what our worship of God ought to be like on this day. Notice what the psalmist says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night, with the ten-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad. By what you have done, I will sing for joy at the work of your hand. Well, perhaps there are several things that we would notice even in these first four verses that would say something about how we ought to pattern our worship of God. I think as you read this psalm, and especially these first four verses, you see that the worship of God is alive. It has energy. It has joy. Now, by that, I don't mean that we've got to figure out some ways to keep you entertained. I sometimes think, and lately it's been asked, you know, how is it, for better or worse, that you've had such longevity with the same church? I mean, 27 years. And I think part of it, because I'm watching, even within our own community, I watch pastors come and go. And they've got larger churches than I do as far as people go. They have air-conditioned buildings. Who would leave a church with an air-conditioned building? But I think part of the problem is these guys get burned out so much quicker than I do, and I get burned out, but because they're always trying to finagle something new to keep the people entertained. Because God's not enough. They're not taken up with God, they're taken up with the amusement. I mean, this morning I had the TV on. Now, some of you may think I violate the Lord's Day, but I watch a couple different shows as I eat breakfast that are religious in nature. I watch Adrian Rogers a little bit, and then right after him is this guy, I forget his name. But the second guy this morning, as I was watching it, he's got this huge, I mean huge, sandcastle as a backdrop. And he was talking about how it's been fascinating all week long. And I don't know how they got all that sand in there, but there was this huge, apparently came in, huge pile of sand, and they had these sand sculptures come in, like they've done down at Blissfield. If you've been down to the River Raisin, they've got a big sand carving as well. But they had these guys come in, and I'm thinking to myself, how many hours did it spend? It was huge and beautiful. Unbelievable. But my thoughts were two. Number one, how long did it take them to do all that? And number two, how much did it cost them to bring truckloads of sand in to build this sculpture? All right. And then I had a third thought. What's he got to do next week? Now, I'm not saying he did anything sinful. I mean, it's up to him and his own conscience. All right. But it just dawns on me how to get people excited about church, we've got to think about entertainment and amusement as though God wasn't enough. They had lively, energetic worship of God. And who was it focused upon? It was focused on God. It was focused on God. Notice what he says. We give thanks to the Lord, Yahweh. He's thinking about their great God, Yahweh, and His greatness, and all that He is, the eternal, the sufficient God. And then a little later on in the first verse, he says, O Most High, thinking about God's sovereign rule over all. He's in Genesis 14 and verse 19, when this terminology is used, O Most High, it goes on to say, the possessor of heaven and earth. You're the ruler and reigner of all things. We get to meet with the eternal God who rules and reigns over all things. And He's going to come down and meet with us. He's going to gather in this place. And we've got to get excited about sandcastles? Is God enough? And so I trust that as we come together and gather together on the Lord's Day to worship with God, our worship would be met with enthusiasm and with joy and delight. Not because we have a clown who can entertain us, but because we're meeting with God. And so, you know, some will come in. This is a boring place. And granted, we don't want to sing funeral dirges. I trust we want to sing hymns that lift up God and praise Him. But is God enough? Is God enough? And so here we find that their worship is lively. Their worship is enthusiastic. It's filled with energy as they give themselves to the worship of God on the Sabbath. They stop and consider. Notice what it says. All that God has done. For You, O Lord, have made me glad. Verse 4. By what You have done. Man, as I contemplate what God has done for me, sending His own Son, made in the likeness of human flesh, and taking my sins upon Himself, that I might be redeemed, forgiven. As I think about what God has done for someone like me, who is so undeserving. And the psalmist says, man, my heart was made glad. I delighted in that when I considered what You have done with Your hand. What a great blessing. I will sing for the joy at the work of Your hands. Does that sound like someone who's in the midst of a great burden? A curse? Sound like someone whose experience, here it is, the Sabbath day, we're worshiping God, woe is me, what a burden, what a... No, here's someone that's delighting, enjoying what God has done. What a great blessing. What a great delight. And may we never lose the value and the blessing of a good thing that this is. It's a wonderful thing. May God raise up another generation who says, that's what I want, the blessing of meeting with God's people and meeting with God as He comes and meets with us. May we value it. May we preserve it. May we protect it. May we love it. May we defend it. Not with Pharisaical legalism that comes and judges people because they don't follow our man-made rules. But may we just delight in God and the work of His hands as we gather together Lord's Day after Lord's Day, giving Him adoration and praise for all that He has done. I can't do that 6 days a week. But one day, is set aside to give myself to focus upon God and the work of His hand. Adoration. So there's preparation, there's adoration, and the last term I would give you is this, anticipation. Anticipation. In Christ, we have entered into rest. But there is still an eternal rest that we are eagerly awaiting. That eternal rest in which everything will focus on God. I don't know all that my loved ones are participating in and going through in heaven. I know there are different people have different ideas, but this I do know. Whatever they're doing, it's with a focus on God. It's with a focus on God. They're giving Him praise. They're giving Him glory. And that's what we await. And every Lord's Day is a foretaste of heaven. Now, for some people, that's not good news. There's some people, oh, no! No! I can just see them. Because they find no delight in God and being with God's people. The issue is, how soon can we get in and get out? But for the true believer, to focus my day on God is a delight. It's a pleasure. It's the source of my joy. And one day, that will all sum up my life as we enter into that eternal rest. And as we come to Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we anticipate that eternal rest that we are now pursuing that will be ours completed. That day when God will rightly judge every man, vindication will come upon the evil. If you read through Psalm 92, he goes on to speak about that reality, that judgment will fall upon the enemies of God. It will be a day of vindication and a day of great prosperity and a day in which we're reminded of the victory, the complete victory that we have in Christ. And so on this day, I trust that if we can benefit the greatest, it would be if we just keep these three terms in mind. And it has nothing to do with your TV or your recreation or your work that you do. It says this, you know, I want to prepare my heart to meet with God. As I gather, I want to give Him the adoration that is His due. And I anticipate the eternal rest that will yet follow for every true believer. You see, I trust that takes something of the controversy away, both on our part, in which we have all these rules and regulations, and I trust on the other side as well, where they say, well, no, I see this day can be beneficial. I can enjoy it. This we call this wonderful gift, I believe, that God has given to us, even in the new covenant community, called the Lord's Day. I've got a couple minutes. Any questions, comments, amens? You're crazy. Maybe you know you're crazy, but you know. Yes, Dorothy?
Well, are you going to keep up a stick to help someone who's been
Yeah, God knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good. Motive of the heart, and then again, not to judge others, to be careful. I know some waitresses that say, I love to work on Sunday because, you know, those Christians are the best tippers around. And yet I know some people say, I hate to work on Sunday because those Christians are the worst tippers around. So I don't know which is true, but this is what I've heard over the years. Am I getting too close to this, or am I... Okay. Anything else? All right, well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you care for us even so much that you have been pleased to call us together to worship you and to benefit from this day. Help us, even in the hour that will now follow, to give you the praise and the glory that is your due. And may we worship you with joy because of the works of your hands. And so, Father, again, meet with us. Manifest your presence among us as we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.